Father, we ask you to minister to us this morning as we share together the things of the Word. Give us grace and strength, peace, and fulfillment of your purpose in this moment of time together. In Christ's name, amen. I want to give you the straight dope, the goods. We had a bone scan on Monday, and they said that we've got quite a lot of cancer in the bones, which is not great news. It's tough. Nor am I euphoric about it. Not trying to be Pollyanna. We're down at the nitty-gritty here, right down at the wire. We came to that once before, but it's a little different than facing it on a daily basis. The options are not extensive. You can go the herbal route, the Chinese herbs and the acupuncture. So there's a whole system that says when you do chemotherapy, which apparently we'll, theoretically we're going to have to do that, when you do chemo, that you're introducing chemicals in the body that tear it down, et cetera, et cetera. On the other hand, the track record on the other side of it is not all that certain. So I have to make a choice, which I am doing, relative to these methods of treatment. Several things that we ought to say. First, on a positive side of things, I'd like to give you the positive side. You know. Whereas there might be a tendency for one to say, well, after I've done all this work and I've poured myself out for the people and everything else, is this my reward? Well, that, of course, is foolish talk. The point is this my ministry? Not is this my reward, is my ministry. It's what the Lord's doing with me and through me for the sake of the people. Because, you see, leadership is not a board of directors. Leadership is down in a swamp with the people. If you're going to lead them through the swamp, you got to get in there yourself. Whereas I wouldn't choose that, but that's the way it is. Instead of feeling it as a negative thing, I think it's a positive thing. I think it's remarkable that the Lord might regard one as adequate to go through it. Paul said, I die daily. Well, in a certain sense, you have to face that because there's no guarantee at all. I have to say to you that I just see it as a part of the experience of life. I welcome it on that basis. As Paul said, I'm not in his league, but as he said, better for you, for me to be here. I'll argue with the Lord about that, in the sense that I think there's still people that need help. Maybe you people are all settled in now and you don't need any further help, but a lot of people out there that do need it and need me around a while. I mean, unfinished work. Yesterday we were down at Koreatown. I have a meeting down there with the Koreans in Westminster. And a marvelous meeting. Steve can attest to that. He went down there with me. He thought it was a pretty good meeting. You got a whole row of Korean young people lined up with great interest. It's amazing. When you can get these high school young people to come on their own, they wouldn't be there if they didn't want to be there. And in one case, the parents are Buddhists and they encourage their son to come. You can believe that. Well, you can because Buddhists are pretty broad-minded. They get together on the misty flats of misinformation. The evidences are there, and had lots of evidences that the Lord has work to do. When I was going up to Reno from Sacramento, the day that this thing really kind of hit, I was on a Thursday, and I was talking to the Lord about it. I was up in Sacramento. And we don't talk a whole lot. We just interact. I was saying to the Lord, I don't need any tokens or anything. Just put it in your hands. You do whatever you want to do. We get to the heavy duty stuff in the sense that you now face a certain inevitability in the natural that calls forth whatever you don't have. The only thing that really matters in this situation is what you don't have. It may seem strange to you, but unless you're tested beyond your own capacity, it's not a test. In school, when I used to prepare tests, I prepared the kind that nobody could get 100 on. Because that way you test the highest in the class, see? You get somebody who gets 100, you don't know how much more they could have done. So, I don't know if my colleague back there did the same thing, but it's a valid pedagogical technique. So, the Lord does that with us. Well, the Lord told Paul that my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he said, when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, the opposite tendency seems to be extant at this time in the church in the sense of everybody being pressed to be strong. Strengthen yourselves and build up yourselves and so forth and so forth. Whereas the biblical concept is to come to the end of yourself where you have nothing left, no resources except the Spirit. And I've been talking about that for years. It's only the Spirit in us that functions. That's biblical, very straight from the Bible. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. We're going to always help the Lord out a little, or we're going to give him a nice strong vessel to use, but it doesn't work out that way. He keeps cutting us down, because remember among our favorite texts in 2 Corinthians 4. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the presence of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. See, when we confront the enemy, what do we have for a weapon except Christ? We don't have any strength. We don't have any faith. It's his faith. We're not out there raising our armor against Satan. We already have it in Christ in us. And Christ will handle Satan, not ourselves. Are we going to have special prayer meetings? Are we going to throw a little piety at Satan? A little righteousness? No, we haven't got any to throw at him. We're weaponless. We're weaponless. Except for the Spirit of Christ. He's the one that fights for us. I'll give you the oft-quoted verses from Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, who said, we have no might against this great company, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And the Lord said to Jehoshaphat, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. So he's the only one that can save us, save the situation, so we turn Satan over to him. But whereas the common response to crises like this is, let's have an all-night prayer meeting, or let's fast, or let's be sure we have confessed all our sins, and we are now duly penitent, and feel very good about our religion, about God. And I think sometimes when we feel the most good about it, we may be the weakest. We feel, boy, I'm all set now for this battle. We're not set for the battle. We're never set for it. We're out there in the line, And Christ is not just our general. He's the battle. He's the armor. He's the whole thing. Now, the grace comes daily. You don't have grace to think about it. You know, what would I do if? Forget that. You can't look ahead. You're going to get grace for each day to do what has to be done. You would take it as it comes. But you don't have any more than a day. I mean, that's true with all of us. All of us. A plane could go down as easily as anything else. People in great strength and vigor go down with a plane or an accident or whatever. That can happen to anybody any day. Old Robert Murray McChane, a great Scotch preacher of the 18th century, said, "Lord, let me speak as a dying man to dying men." We're all dying. As soon as a leaf comes on in the spring, it's heading for the ground in the winter. You know, it's going to die. Life is an illusion in that sense. Longfellow was not altogether right, I think. He said, "Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream, and the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its gold. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul." Well, that last line is probably right, but the grave is, in a certain sense, is a goal. You know, the end is a goal. It's the beginning. The goal is the beginning, and the end is the beginning. The big thing is that the Spirit is the ongoing reality, after all. And the Spirit is bigger than the earth, because it's tied to God, bigger than the universe in a way. So we're eternally identified with God. Now, if we're not willing to face that, see, that's where the nitty-gritty comes. When you face it and say, this is absolutely true, and you put your weight on that, then you lose the anxieties that keep you bound to the earth. Well, now comes the moment of reality where everything is now based upon the things I've been telling you for years. Is the Spirit adequate in us to handle these things? And we're gonna work with it. Remember I said to you, tests are not tests to see if we'll stand. They're tests to show us that we'll stand. Remember Paul's words in Romans 14. Before his own Lord he stands or falls, and he will stand because the Lord will make him stand. And the word test, so often translated by that, means approval in the sense of tested so as to show approval. So you don't test things in the lab always to see if they will work, but often to show that they will work, you know, prove that they will work. It'll work with you, whatever your crisis. And I can stand up here and say that to you, having faced crises. Crises beyond the human capacity to handle it. So that's for the grace of Christ. Unless it's beyond your capacity to handle it, it isn't really a test. If you can get 100 on it, you don't know how much further you could have gone. Well, anyway, I think we'll stop there. Father, we ask you to take these words that are spoken in human frailty, and yet we ask that the Spirit will use them to minister to the hearts of the people. And give us the grace that goes beyond the words. In Christ's name, amen.